Joining me right now is my guy, Manny Bulbari. What's up, Al Cintron? What's up, brother?
What's up, man? Good. Thanks for having me. Appreciate you.
Well, thanks for joining, because I reached out to you. We won't say what I said, and, you know, you said I'm in, so thanks for joining me, Emmanuel.
Of course, man. I always appreciate you having me. Always good to talk to you.
All right, so, you know, all the pressure this year is on the Seattle Mariners in terms of the expectations. They're the team everybody's talking about in the American League. Where do you see the Yankees in terms of the totem pole in the American League?
I see them right at the top. Now, the question this year is going to be the elephant in the room last year. Could they solve the Toronto Blue Jays? And the Yankees, if you look at how they graded out statistically in the American League last year, on paper, you looked at them and you thought best roster talent-wise in the American League. They played that way after their deadline moves down the stretch. They couldn't solve the Toronto Blue Jays at any turn last year. Now, I go into this year and I look at rosters side by side and I think, wow, the Yankees are pretty much in the same spot that they were last year. They made tweaks. They made minor improvements. Largely, the moniker is running it back, which could be a good thing. It's what the Blue Jays did last year, but they improved. Like, they internally improved and ended up going to the World Series, and they came inches away a couple of times from winning the entire thing. So, roster by roster, I view the Yankees in the same spot where they should be that top team in the American League, or at least competing for a spot in the World Series to the very end. But we know, Al, you know, rosters and paper is not what wins you a championship, so we got to see a play out on the field.
Now, I've been saying when it comes to the rotation with the Yankees, you know, everybody I feel like is sweeping it under the rug, like there's no issues. You have Max Fried, fine. That's the anchor. Cam Schlittler, already on a pitch count to start the season, 70 pitches. Ryan Weathers was horrendous this spring. And then you have Will Warren, who's good at home, but you don't know what you can get on the road. You're missing your top two, you know, aces when it comes to Rodon and Cole. Am I wrong in assuming that?
I think you're laying out the lay of the land pretty well in that the Yankees have a ton of pitching depth. And that's going to be the strength of the team. If you look at any sort of weaknesses or vulnerabilities, why the Yankees won't be that top team in the American League, I don't think it comes from the starting pitching whatsoever. You could say, oh, this guy is maybe going to be a difference maker offensively. This guy could take a step back. This guy could break out. Those questions, to me, don't exist in the starting pitching. I think you have a month where you're bridging the gap to Cole and Rodon coming back, but you still have a strong staff for that month, right? You have Fried anchoring the rotation. Schlittler, I think, is the major piece here. He's a major X factor because he wasn't part of the equation first half of last year. He comes in down the stretch, and we all know how he showed out and how brilliant he was on the biggest stage in the postseason. Will Warren looks better than he's ever been, watching him in spring training. And Ryan Weathers was a interesting ad, like a sneaky ad, where that's a live arm from the left side. Well, we don't know exactly what he's going to do. We don't know how it's going to play on the rotation. We don't know if he's going to stay healthy more so than previous years, but we know he's really promising. So there are your four to start the year. Heel is looming, Cole and Rodon waiting in the wings, and then later in the season, maybe a Clark Schmidt. But also, the elephant in the room is the rookies and the guys who eventually could factor in, like a LeGrande or an Elmer Rodriguez, who the Yankees probably think more highly of than most. I mean, if they're deciding between a Luis Heel and a LeGrande or Rodriguez down the road, it might be the younger guys. It could be. So the Yankees' pitching depth will be the strength of the team, and probably if we're looking at vulnerabilities, it's not going to be pitching.
Well, I mean, Emmanuel, I think when the starting pitching, to me, at least the first month of the season, you know, you don't know if Ryan Weathers can get it done in New York. Like you said, his health, I think he'll be a bigger weapon out the bullpen when the rotation's finally set. You know, Max Fried, you have him. Schlittler, like you said, you got to see what he does his second year. It's going to be a full season for him. You said Will Warren looked better in spring training than you've ever seen him. But I worry about Ryan Weathers as the fourth starter. I know you got 4 days off in 13 days. That's what they do in the four-man rotation. Luis Hill hasn't been the same since his rookie of the year season. When the reinforcements get here, Cole and Fried, then I think the Yankees rotation is, you know, stacked.
Agreed. And I think you're not going to sell anybody on the Yankees as the best rotation in the American League or anything of that ilk for the first month of the year. But is it good? to minimum serviceable? Absolutely. And you have guys who are very capable. I look at Ryan Weathers and I could see anything from, you know, innings eater to a guy who could get you through the first month of the year out of that number four spot in the rotation to, you know, you look at his stuff and this guy has elite stuff coming from the left side, very rare stuff from a left-hand starter. So we're looking at anything from baseline, keep you in a game to maximum. This guy could be shutting down lineups for the first couple of months. And I'd bank on him early in the season with the injury history rather than later in the season to get that done. So, yes, I agree with you. Down the road, the Yankees would dream of a world where maybe Weathers from the left side, Heal from the right side, guys of that nature are helping you out of the bullpen down the road. I don't think we're going to see the vintage Yankee pitching staff in the first month of the year, but do they have enough where they can be in games and that top offense in the American League from last year can win a lot of games before Colin Rodon come back? Absolutely. There are question marks to start the year, sure, but I think there's a lot to be excited about considering the continued development and growth. You know, Schlittler and Warren, there's no guarantee they take steps back. In fact, the Yankees expect them to take steps forward.
Oh, that's good news for the Yankees rotation out the gates. Now, Trent Grisham, you know, I said to start the show that if there's one guy besides Aaron Judge that needs to get off to a great start so he doesn't feel the wrath of the fans, it's Trent Grisham. Agree or disagree?
Yeah, that's pretty much the top storyline offensively in my mind is Trent Grisham and what type of season he's going to have following up. You know, anyone would call that the outlier of his career. And what we're going to learn this year is that the first of many really good prime years of Trent Grisham's career, is that the first of him finding it, or is that the outlier? For now, it's the outlier because the only time we've seen him, not only is 34 home runs a career high, but every home run had meaning. You know, you think about the amount of home runs late in games. You think about the amount of home runs that game broke and really broke the door in a game. The go-ahead grand slams, he had three of them in the second half of the year. So he certainly endeared himself to the fan base, didn't have the best postseason, but and that's going to happen over a smaller sample size. If he gets off to a slow start, naturally those thoughts are going to creep back in because it had never happened before of that nature. If I'm a fan watching Trent Grisham the first couple months of the year, I'm going to think, okay, all right, last year was the outlier. And then naturally fans are going to lean towards and gravitate towards, all right, we have this ridiculous outfield pool in the minor leagues. How are we going to dip into that to help the equation? Maybe Trent Grisham goes back to, I don't know, 2-3 times a week as opposed to 6-7 days a week in an everyday role. That's a big if. He could get off to a representative start. He could get off to an okay start, and we won't have that conversation. But I would agree with you that the first couple weeks are going to be huge for Trent Grisham because he is the top storyline offensively. I can't look at anybody else in that lineup that has the same type of question mark next to him that Trent Grisham does because he's such a big factor to what they did last year, and he had never done something of that ilk before last year.
Now, Cody Bellinger was dealing with a lower back issue in spring training. Now, how's the back doing right now?
All systems go. I mean, Cody Bellinger, remember, even early last year had that flare up a little bit. So I think there's something he's dealt with throughout the course of the last few years. No issues right now. If it needs to be dealt with and flares up throughout the season, I think Cody Bellinger's in such a spot in his career where he really knows his own body. So if that pops up, you know, maybe you have 3, 4, 5 days where you see a little less of Cody Bellinger. And thankfully for the Yankees' sake last year, there was no extended stint on the injured list for many of their key guys, let alone Bellinger. And he was out there the entire season, played 150 games. So I expect the same, especially of that nature. You can never predict other injuries, but with the back, Bellinger's dealt with this for years, and I think it's going to be something he knows when it's time to, you know, turn on the brakes as opposed to turn on the jets.
Ben Rice at first base. Your level of confidence that he'll be able to get the job done fielding-wise for the Yankees?
Yeah, that's another question mark with this team. I think Ben Rice is an elite bat, and he projects to do even more than he did last year, which was terrific offensively, especially considering that was his first full season in the big leagues. But The Yankees expect even more. You look at all the underlying data and metrics, and I think some of that can be overblown with guys at times, but Ben Rice hits the you-know-what out of the ball. He is incredible from an offensive standpoint. The Yankees expect him to be a run producer in the middle of the order. Defensively, he was not a refined product at first base last year by any measure, and he's still a work in progress at that position. Having Paul Goldschmidt there is huge in terms of having that veteran mentor who can at least help him along and not only be that defensive replacement late in games when the Yankees need him, but actually give guidance towards Ben Rice as he moves forward in his career. Got to remember, he wasn't a first baseman until purely out of necessity. Remember the Anthony Rizzo situation a few years back where Ben Rice got his first shot in the big leagues, and that was really his first extended run at first base. Is the guy who came up as a catcher, and really, if the Yankees had their pick at the litter last year, you want Giancarlo Stanton in the lineup at every single turn. He was that dominant, but Ben Rice would have been the DH last year in a non-Giancarlo Stanton world. That's how the season started. Stanton wasn't ready to go to start the year, and Ben Rice is largely the DH. So I look at Rice, and I think there's potential there at first, but he's not a guy right now I'd look at and say, all right, somebody low throw from third, low throw from short, low throw from second. I am ultra confident that Ben Rice is going to pick that ball. And Paul Goldschmidt's more comfortable this year looking at Ben Rice and saying, I'm willing to offer that guidance. Because it's not like last year where Paul Goldschmidt is a new Yankee and he feels like, okay, I'm in an everyday role as a first baseman. How much do I feel comfortable giving this wisdom and passing it along? That's not the case this year. Paul Goldschmidt's back in a role where he's a part-time player at most, and he's okay with that. Paul Goldschmidt's one of the more selfless players we've seen, especially at this phase of his career. He's going to offer that wisdom, so you can only hope that that leads Ben Rice in the right direction. To start the year, though, I think that's an open question what he'll be defensively.
Giancarlo Stanton, how many games do you see him playing this season?
That's a real crystal ball question, and it's a good question because I can't project. I've seen Giancarlo Stanton's entire Yankee career. I could, I could give you any range of outcomes to Stanton. I could see him playing. What was it last year? He played 77 games and hit 25 home runs and drove in almost a run a game. It was incredible the production he did in a small period of time. Or I could give you Giancarlo Stanton, who's very comfortable with this on and off at this stage of his career. Remember last year, there were a lot of times where he'd play two games and sit a game. Play two games and sit a game. I think he's really good at bouncing back, and he's found a routine, and he's so keen on his routine and getting ready and gearing up for the opposing pitcher. I could see a world where he plays 140 games. I really could. I could see anywhere from 77 last year to 140, and Stanton hits you 40, 45 home runs in those 140 games. I am very bullish on when he's out there. He's going to get the job done because he's way better than he was early in his Yankee career at when he's out there being, not that he wasn't prepared in the first couple of years of his Yankee career, he was, but he studies pitchers and he's ready to such an extent. This guy's a killer in big moments. So if he's out there, he's going to hit. It's just a matter of how much. We don't know. We've seen any variation. We've seen, 2019 where he played 18 games, and last year we played 77. And we've also seen 2021 where he played a full year. In 2018, he played a full year. 2024, he played 114. I think if you told me Stanton plays 114, I would sign on the dotted line right now.
Talking to Manny Barbaro, who covers the Yankees post-game show. Stanton last year played 77 games, 24 homers, 66 RBIs. And batted .273 and had a tremendous second half of the season for the Yankees last year. You got Jazz Chisholm. Is he going to be a happy camper with no contract extension or what?
I mean, I think Jazz is in a perfect frame of mind, right? If you want to go 50-50 and you're in a contract year, this is what I always said when there were these trade rumors in the offseason. Having Jazz Chisholm back in a contract year, how is that not beneficial to either party? Jazz gets to go out and prove that he's worth whatever contract turns out being market value. And from a Yankee standpoint, you get to evaluate whether this is worth a long-term marriage. Yankees like Jazz Chisholm a lot. But the question is this going to be your second baseman for the next six or seven or 8 years? So you get to evaluate that while potentially cashing in on Jazz playing, I'm not even going to say over his head because we know he has that type of potential. But let's say Jazz balls out in this walk year. Who benefits from that? Jazz does, and the Yankees really do, because that would be a middle-of-the-order bat who also is stealing you 40, 50 bases. So I think Jazz is in a perfect frame of mind, and if he's not, he would be costing himself on the open market. He would be costing himself a lot, considering there's an ultra-talented player who is going into a walk year, and if he has even what he did last year or close to what he did last year, he's making, what, 150, 200 million bucks on the open market? I don't think that's ridiculous. I don't think that's an unfair projection of what Jazz Chisholm could make if he's just a modicum of what he did last year. So if he goes out there and plays like a normal walk year of his type of player would, you know, he's going to be in really good shape. The Yankees are going to be in really good shape.
Ryan McMahon, is he going to be the full-time third baseman, or will there be a platoon with him and Amer Rosario? Because Ryan McMahon, batting 200 is just not going to cut it. I know his glove's elite, but his offense stinks.
I wouldn't say it totally stinks, especially when you look at his body of work in his career. Now, when he came over to the Yankees last year, he had a couple big moments and then largely didn't hit as well as he wanted to. He admitted that was disappointing for him, but he's still settling into New York. And I tried to make some batting stance adjustments to, you know, bring that average up and maybe stay within himself, go the other way a lot throughout spring training. I don't think it's a pure platoon, but there are going to be lefties that Amer Rosario is going to play against. That's why he's on the team. And that's why Amer Rosario is here to mash left-handers. And I will tell you that it's not a pure platoon in the sense that Amer Rosario doesn't play against any lefty, and he also doesn't play when Max Fried's on the mound. When Max Fried's on the mound, you get a lot of ground balls to the left side of the infield. You're not going to have a substandard third baseman, at least compared to Ryan McMahon and what he brings defensively. Just not going to have that at third base with Max Fried on the mound. So if I had to project it based on how I'm thinking this through, McMahon plays 70% of the time and Rosario plays 30% of the time or something of that nature. I don't think the Yankees are concerned about McMahon hitting righties. They're more concerned about him hitting lefties consistently. So if McMahon's even hitting 220 at the 7, 8, 9 spot in the order and he's playing your elite glove third base, Yankees are completely fine with that. It's more if he doesn't hit lefties as well, Rosario's going to take a bulk of that time.
How soon will we see Anthony Volpe as the starting shortstop for the New York Yankees?
As soon as he's ready, as soon as he's healthy. I don't think if Volpe's progression goes the way they expect, I don't think there's a world where he doesn't at least partially reclaim that job. Now, when he gets back to the major leagues, we got to see which Anthony Volpe shows up. Like Anthony Volpe, what's interesting, the difference last year, he didn't defend. Right. So you look at the offensive production and Anthony Volpe's a, let's say a 220, you know, 225 hitter, 215 hitter with 18 to 22 home runs, or 20 to 25 stolen bases. He's done that every single year of his career so far. What's the difference last year? Didn't defend. And I think Anthony Volpe, the 220 hitter, even though he hopes to be better than that, the Yankees hope he could be better than that moving forward, and they hope the best days are ahead of Anthony Volpe. If he hits 220, 20 home runs, 20 steals, elite defense, that's a starting shortstop on a team that could go back to the World Series like they did in 2024. If he doesn't defend, it's not. So I think it's going to be, was the injury preventing him so much from defending his position at the level the Yankees know he's capable of, that he knows he's capable of? When he comes back, is he playing defense at a high clip? Is he playing a gold glove caliber shortstop? Is he not? That's the difference. The offense, yes, you'd hope it's better. That doesn't concern me that much because the Yankees don't need him to be a beast offensively. That would be gravy. If he comes back, and he'll get the opportunity to come back, provided he's healthy. If he comes back and he hits 220, 20 home run pace, 25 steal pace, and plays an elite defensive shortstop, there's nobody that can challenge him for that role. If he doesn't defend, the role won't be his anymore.
Now, to me, the biggest weakness on this Yankee roster is their bullpen. Paint a positive picture for Yankee fans heading into opening day later on today.
Yeah, I think it's a very fluid bullpen. That's how I'd paint a positive picture. They have guys that are here. They have guys in the minors. There could be a lot of shuffling going on. I think they have some questions in the middle stages of the bullpen. And, Al, you mentioned it. You hit on the topic we were discussing earlier with the starting pitching. A lot of these guys who are in the starting rotation, they have so much depth, could factor into the bullpen later in the season. But for now, we got to figure out, okay, the deadline acquisitions, Bednar and Doval. I think everyone's very high on David Bednar. We've seen the guts and the moxie of him getting out of situations. I think everybody's very high on Bednar. Doval, we know, has a great arm. Doesn't really know where the ball is going at times, but adapted to his role. Is used to being in that 7th to 8th inning now, as opposed to when he first became a Yankee. What does Camilo Doval bring to the table? A full year in pinstripes, not in the 9th inning for the most part. What is Camilo Doval in that role? Fernando Cruz, we know he has the guts. I mean, we're talking about moxie and getting out of situations. That's a guy you want with runners on base. And has just a devastating splitter. Like, that can get him out of any situation, bases empty or runners on. That's pretty much your 7, 8, 9 and how it's shaping up. Tim Hill could be middle leverage, high leverage, get a lefty out wherever you need him. And what I like about the bullpen right now is you have 3 lefties that you're taking in the opening day who are all very different. You know, Hill's that sidewinding, matchup lefty, big situation. Hedrick is that 96-97 power lefty, over the top, not sidewinder. Yarbrough is the crafty lefty and the long reliever. So you're giving 3 different looks from the left side out of the Yankee bullpen. The middle relief is where it gets really interesting because you have Jake Bird, who the Yankees acquired, had to send down. They really like his arm, but he had really worn down from Colorado. And I think we're all wondering what Jake Bird will be. Is he going to be the dominant reliever from early last year in Colorado or the guy we saw when he first came to the Yankees? And Cade Winquest, who they got in the Rule 5 from St. Louis. He's making his big league debut when he steps onto the mound with the Yankees. The middle relief is kind of interesting to me, but I do think later in the season that's going to be patched up by some starters. For now, is a Winquest going to step up? Is a Bird going to step up? Are they not? And then somebody from the minors has to step in there, like a Harrison Cohen, somebody of that nature. We'll see how those situations play out. The bullpen does have questions in the middle, but those questions could turn into answers or they could be shored up.
Before I get to Aaron Judge, looking at this Yankee lineup, how do you project it 1 through 9? And who's the one guy you could see having a breakout season this season, this upcoming year?
Ooh, really good question. So you just want the breakout guy. What was the other part of that question?
How do you see this lineup projecting versus righties and versus lefties, 1 through 9? How do you see it? How would you slot it? And which guy do you see having a breakout season for the Yankees?
Okay, so breakout, I'll go second. The first question about how the lineup projects, I think against right-handers on a normal day, you're going to see Trent Grisham leading off, you know, Aaron Judge in the number 2 hole. You're going to see Ben Rice and Giancarlo Stanton right there in the middle. You're going to see Jazz Chisholm. You're going to see Cody Bellinger. Again, in no particular order.
Yeah.
But at the bottom, you'll see Jose Caballero. You're going to see Austin Wells and Ryan McMahon. Yeah, this lineup's going to be pretty set in stone against right-handers. Against the lefties is where it becomes interesting, because you have a Randall Grichuk, who the Yankees signed, has made the team as a 4th outfielder to face and mash left-handers. You have Amed Rosario, who's on the team, not just as a great clubhouse guy, not just as a versatile defensive option, but to mash left-handers. I think you're going to see a lot of those guys. I think you're going to see Paul Goldschmidt, who's back to face left-handers and to be a veteran presence and a mentor to a Ben Rice and others. Goldschmidt, Rosario, Grichuk, I could see in the lineup a lot against lefties. Now, not every day. I think guys have everyday roles, and you don't want to mess with that at every turn. Ben Rice, you want in the lineup more often than not, but maybe Giancarlo Stanton gets a day off, and then Goldschmidt plays first, and Rice DHs. That could happen a lot this year. So it's a little more fluid against lefties as opposed to against righties. The breakout guy to me is Austin Wells. because you look at the Yankee crop of youth, and Ben Rice is the guy who emerged offensively last year. Austin Wells was the guy the Yankees really were high on. And remember, he was being floated as a leadoff hitter and led off on opening day last year. A year ago, it was Austin Wells hitting a home run in the first offensive at-bat of the Yankee season, like bottom of the first inning. Yep. Milwaukee Brewers, Freddie Peralta, Yankee Stadium with Austin Wells out of the leadoff spot. And he didn't lead off. I think he led off one other time the entire season. But that wasn't an indictment on Wells and what they thought of him. He's ended up having a pretty inconsistent year offensively and had a major downturn in that. You know, the Yankee fans, we would refer to it as the June swoon.
So do Met fans.
Yeah, it's not exclusive to the Yankees. Yes. But, you know, Wells, along with Volpe and a few others in the lineup, really had bad downturns in that stretch of the season. Wells, if you go back to June 15th of last year, it's really interesting. You look at the numbers. He was on pace for, I think, 27 homers, 100 RBIs, and his OPS was around 800. So he was off to a great start. And I think there was that big downturn, never really found the consistency, especially at a premium position like catcher, where every offensive, you know, metric, it's gravy. If the Yankees get that at the bottom of the order, they're going to be not just a good offense, but an elite offense. I think Wells, we saw him unpack some fire with the WBC and the team DR and the run he had and hitting some big home runs. I think Austin Wells is a big season.
Now, Emmanuel, you're just pulling my leg because every year I adopt a Yankee. Last year I adopted Stanton. This year I adopted Austin Wells because of the WBC.
Yeah. So I am pulling your leg. We're on the same page here.
Yeah, I mean, that's my guy this year, Mr. Mofongo, and Austin Wells. Aaron Judge, before I let you go, I said to open the show that I feel like he's under the most pressure out of everyone in Major League Baseball to deliver a ring. Do you agree or disagree with that? It's time. It's up to him to deliver the ring for the Yankee fans.
Yeah, I agree. I just, the one part I would disagree with a little bit is that it's all up to Aaron Judge. I think a lot of this Yankee team has to click, and Aaron Judge could be all world again. He could hit 60 home runs, and it's almost like we take it for granted now. Judge is going to hit 55 home runs. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a down year if he hits 40 home runs. It's actually a really good year if a guy hits 40 home runs, but we take it for granted now that we're watching one of the maybe the 10 best players ever to play in his prime. So he could do all of that, and the rest of the team could have, you know, off years. That's very possible. Or we could get to the postseason again, and not to blame these guys, but it's just the reality of what happened. Carlos Rodon and Max Fried were your rocks all of last year. They each took the ball every fifth day. They each were among the league leaders in wins. They go into that Blue Jays series, and they had their two, you know, most least effective starts of the season in the playoffs. You know, you look at the lines they put up against Toronto, that had never happened before in the entire season. So that can always happen, and that would have nothing to do with Aaron Judge. So I think he knows it, and he feels that weight. He's not letting it get to him. Judge is a very even-keeled guy, but it's not all up to him. I think the rest of this team needs to produce and take some of that burden off of him. So when he gets to the playoffs and he's facing some of the best pitchers in baseball, he could get a few more mistakes because they have to think twice about the rest of the lineup. They have to think twice about the pitching. They have to think twice about the entire team. And it's not just the game plan of don't let Judge beat us. I understand that's ridiculous to say because every team's going to say that. Don't let Judge beat us. But maybe make them think twice about a couple of other things, and Judge could have that A-Rod 09 style postseason.
All right, let me change the question. Aaron Judge cannot be the reason in the postseason the Yankees lose. How about that?
Agreed, and no doubt about it. I mean, you can't get to a postseason and Judge is a non-factor. And you look at last year, he wasn't a non-factor. He hit 500 in the playoffs. He had a big home run when they were facing elimination, almost an unhittable pitch inside. Yep. That he turns around off the foul pole. And, you know, we all know that Judge came through last year. I agree. You can't get to this postseason and Judge hits, you know, 100 in a playoff series and you lose. But I also don't think Judge is in a stage of his career where he's going to do that. He's such a well-rounded, refined hitter where at a very least, bare minimum, he's going to take his walks. And at a maximum, he could carry the Yankees. But he's only going to carry the Yankees, to me, this is my gut feel. He'll only carry them in a postseason if the rest of the team is clicking at the right time and there are other it's a deep lineup. It's a heavy lineup for the opponent to get through. That's the only way it's going to happen. If Judge is going in like 2022, where he's the home run king, 62 home runs, he's hitting lead off, and the rest of the lineup is not clicking, it's not going to work out that way. It won't work out if the rest of the lineup doesn't have multiple scary options a la, 2024, Stanton, Soto with Judge. If you don't have that clicking, something of that ilk, then it won't work out.
All right, Emmanuel, hate to put you in a spot before we go. Keep it a buck now. The Yankees, health, everybody's healthy, blah, blah, blah. How does their season end?
Ooh, I think their season ends in the World Series, and I'm not going to give you a prediction on how that tilts, but I think they go back to the World Series this year. I think they're the best team in the American League. I think the pitching is what is the big difference this year, in that the depth is just really hard to contend with for any American League team. Maybe the only other American League team I think that has that pitching depth is Boston, but I don't think Boston has the offensive firepower that the Yankees have. So if everything goes according to plan, which is a big if, but I think the Yankees have what it takes. They have the firepower. I think the captain has a big postseason this time around, all the way across the board, through the division series, through the championship series. They go to the World Series. The question is who's waiting for them. Is it the Dodgers looking to three-peat? Is it a different NL opponent? I don't know how that'll all play out on the other side of the bracket, if you will, but I do think the Yankees will go back to the World Series this year.
Yeah, I have a Seattle Dodgers World Series. I didn't want to say the Mets because I don't want to be accused of being a fanboy. I would love a Subway World Series. I've been saying it forever. I'm not afraid of it. Mets, Yankees, to stick it to every other baseball fan across the country. But I have the Mariners playing the Dodgers in the World Series.
I think that's an interesting pick. I think Seattle being, they were inches away from the World Series last year. And they return a lot of the same group and a lot of the same pitching. That's a threat in the American League for the Yankees to contend with. Dodgers, obviously not a bad pick any year in this day and age, in this climate, to go back to the World Series. What I would say is, on your Mets prediction, I know you're not going towards them, and you'd love to see it happen.
Yes.
But this year has a much better, I'll put it, a higher probability of a Subway Series than we've had in a long time. Because I think the Yankees are odds on in the American League, and the Mets, look across the National League, Al. Mm-hmm. Look across the National League outside of the Dodgers, and who makes you shake in your boots?
No one!
Outside of L.A. Yeah, that's my point. Yes. I look at the NL East, and I see a Braves team that's very banged up again, especially in the pitching department. The Phillies have peaked. I say they peaked in the Brandon Faulk Game 7 against Arizona in 2023, and they've been complacent since then. They've had the same team for, 3 years now?
Yep.
The Mets are the most well-rounded, I think, offense outside of the Dodgers, and they have the pitching question marks, granted, but they do have pitching firepower that can get it done. You look across the National League, we have a better percentage chance of a Subway Series, World Series than we've had in maybe a decade. When you look at just the competition that exists for the Yankees and Mets to get there, boy, wouldn't it be fun if we look up in October and it's going to be one team from this town that's breaking the drought.
Yeah, for the tri-state area, yeah, the rest of the country will be pissed off. And the reason I want Met Yankees, so honestly speaking, one of these fan bases can shut up for a whole season.
Then it's guaranteed. You know one of them is, and then one of them is going to be completely beat down for a while.
Yes!
But I think we're not, the luxury we have right here is we're not worried about what the rest of the country thinks.
100%.
We're not worried about, okay, a few other fan bases are going to be annoyed for a while. We've been annoyed for a few years now. I mean, we got to get back. So if it's a Yankees-Mets World Series at the expense of a couple other fan bases, they can wait their turn, and we'll gladly have one of those teams lift the trophy. I think it would be the Yankees lifting that trophy, but that's for another day.
Emmanuel, have a great season with the post-game show, and I will have you on multiple times during the season. Thanks for joining me, brother.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Al. It was fun. Appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man. That's Emmanuel Babari. He covers the postgame here for the flagship of the New York Yankees on WFAN.